welcome to the Amazing Data Podcast. Okay, welcome here, everyone, to our newest episode of our tech-savvy podcast. We're launching season two, and we're talking about Internet of Things. We've agreed that the topic of this season would be talking about IoT technology, but it's hard for us to understand what it is and how the technology generating so much data can actually be approachable and how we can actually read this data. So probably the best way to make our lives easier and to comprehend the data collected is to visualize it. So today we're going to learn how to do it from the best. Meet Manuel, who is a data visualization expert and extremely hard to catch guest. So stay tuned because it's totally worth checking out what we're going to discuss today. So welcome, Manuel. Could you please tell our listeners a few words about yourself?
Great. Thank you for having me, Ksenia. It's a pleasure. A few words about myself. What can I say? I'm a designer, author, a lecturer, a teacher, I guess multiple things, a dad and a husband. I've been involved in data visualization for quite some time now. I think it's been more than 16 years so far. I kind of fell in love with the practice when I was doing a master's at Parsons School of Design in New York. And I was doing a master in fine arts focused on design and technology. And I discovered this diagram called the understanding spectrum, where data leads into information, information leads into knowledge, and knowledge ultimately leads into wisdom. And I was absolutely, even though my background is actually industrial design, like building physical things like chairs and tables and so on, I was immensely compelled to be part of this process, right? Converting data into meaningful information and ultimately knowledge, and building that transition, building that bridge between producers and consumers, right?
So I think it sounds as a mixture of two things, like the design, practical implementation of this, also more like reading the data approach and also the artistic approach. So let's say I know nothing about data visualization. I can guess what it is, but I'm not familiar with this concept, like a five-year-old kid or the alien from outer space. Can you please describe what exactly data visualization is aimed onto, like how we use that, how we put that into the practice? What is this?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think it's something that anyone can relate to. And this goes, you know, back with, you know, to my research. My latest book, for example, goes back to the earliest attempts for humans to decode information in a visual form, right? And we go back to petroglyphs, this kind of like rock inscriptions that you see really around the world, you know, from Africa to Australia, to different parts of Europe and the Americas. Like there is this human desire for visual communication way before we even had alphabets, right? So data visualization is not foreign to that human desire, right? In fact, it is very deep in ourselves. It's just a different type of material. Now, instead of sort of like oral information, we have data in a spreadsheet somehow, right? And we have to make that data more understandable for humans, more digestible, because raw data is absolutely meaningless for us humans. We have a hard time understanding what that is, right? So we need to convert it. We need to transform it into something that is, again, understandable. So that's where data visualization comes about. So it's really a process of communicating information and coming up with visual metaphors, right? Through graphs, through charts, through any type of visual representation that we, you and I and other humans, will understand ultimately.
That sounds intriguing. You know, when you say metaphors, it brings me to thinking that it has to be like, you know, a little bit poetic, trying to find the explanation to complicated things. But there's so many industries which are like hardcore, which are straight to the point. There's no poetics in it whatsoever. We're getting the business right here and there. How do you think, is data visualization actually applicable for any industry? Is it possible to apply it anywhere, like in slight things and in hardcore things?
Absolutely. I mean, I do see data visualization as a language. It is really a language, right? And so if you think about the alphabet that probably you and I use, right? It's just a handful of letters, right? 23 letters. But those letters, those simple building mechanisms, these are called, you know, building blocks. They are almost like Lego pieces, right? 23 of them. They're not that many. It's not a very complex system. But if you think about everything you've read, that certainly everything I've read, I haven't read in any other alphabet that I know of. So everything I've read so far, everything I know, all the knowledge that I've been accumulating has been through different types of combinations of only those 23 building blocks, right? And those 23 building blocks, they create the most sort of pragmatic, objective sort of communication and the most incredible poem that you can think of, right? But it's using the same building blocks. So if you think about visualization, they are using other types of building blocks. In this case, it's geometric shapes, you know, boxes and circles and triangles and colors and textures and things of that nature. But it's still a very finite palette, right? It's a very finite set of building blocks. But when combined creatively, they can actually create and communicate a variety of different things, from the very objective and pragmatic, maybe corporate communication that you're implying, to very kind of like almost artistic kinds of representations, right?
I like how we moved from talking about poetic and artistic things into more pragmatic things. That actually leads me very smoothly to the next question. So how do you think, if we are talking about more, you know, grounded matters like alphabet, digits, which are very finite, there is no other variations of those in the majority of the cases. So how do we actually go from, you know, being poetic and pretty and artistic to pragmatic side using so much digits aside from like the alphabet that you've mentioned? How do we get to like the point?
We are talking about ultimately visual symbols. And those visual symbols, again, you could, let's say on a very pragmatic sense, you have, you know, maybe the bar chart, right? Which is just rectangles with different lengths and different thickness, right? So on that side, you have a very pragmatic type of visual representation of a data set. But you can also have a completely different sort of take on it, right? But the data is still the same. It's just your own sort of way of interpreting the data, right? Of transforming the data into something that is visual. And that transformation can take many, many different things, right? I normally give the example of this Japanese painting that I love, which is called The Great Wave of Kanagawa. And many of you probably have seen it. It's the massive wave about to crash on the fishermen. Everyone knows that painting. It's arguably the most famous painting of from Japan. But the interesting thing is that the subject in that painting is actually not the tsunami, but it is the highest mountain in Japan. That's, of course, seen at the very end of the painting, Mount Fuji, right? And the thing about that painting is that it's part of a series of paintings. It's called the 36 Views of Mount Fuji, where you have the same mountain seen from every possible angle, almost if you had a 36-degree camera, right? Snapping different angles of this mountain. And what I love about that, again, that sort of analogy is the following. Any data set is your Mount Fuji. You can visualize it from any different angle, any different viewpoint, from the artistic to the objective to the pragmatic to whatever interpretation you want to take it. And all of them are relevant in some way, right? There's no perfect, there's no single representation of a subject. It's always some sort of an interpretation of it. A map is never the territory as we know it, right? So it's always an angle of that subject. So it depends on, again, the goal, the context, the audience. So it depends on a variety of different things to determine what is the best visualization of a given subject. But there's a myriad of possibilities for you to do that.
Okay, so if we are talking about finding different data sources, I do understand that like the statistics and the data sheets are pretty much everywhere if you would want to approach that. But if we're talking less about ones and zeros and more about the devices which you need to use to capture the data, from your experience, with what kind of devices did you work in terms of obtaining the data before doing the preparation for data visualization?
I mean, I think a lot of the examples that I've seen are fall into this idea of like this personal tracking, right? So either, you know, smartwatches or smartphones that are able to track a lot of your personal habits and your own personal behaviors. I think that's where people tend to gravitate the most when you think about, you know, personal datafication, right? And personal data visualization. And those tend to be pretty interesting. You know, and more these devices are tracking a variety of different things that they weren't, you know, just a few years back. So I think the potential for visualization is growing substantially with more data being tracked by these devices, you know, not just, you know, hours of sleep or steps you take or the calories. And so there's a variety of different things that are, I mean, the most interesting ones for me, I remember, were maybe even 10 years back, this device that was actually mapping, called the skin galvanic response system, that was measuring your heartbeat together with your breathing. And the combination of the two were aiming at basically generating your status of anxiety. And if you cross-reference that with other things, you know, let's say your location in a city, right? You can actually, as you cross the city, as you walk around a given neighborhood, it could actually measure your status of anxiety in a given street. So let's say that the street is pretty dirty or it's filled with graffiti. You might have a perception of like being unsafe in a given area. So maybe your anxiety levels might rise. So the interesting thing for me is not just, you know, extracting data from these devices on their own, but also cross-reference them with other things that could make it really, really insightful, you know, like the example I just provided. So that could be interesting.
I like that you already started talking about the devices, which are a little bit more rather than just, you know, monitoring your pulse and your calories and the steps you're taking. This is exactly where I'm leading to, and this is where we're going to. Right. If we are collecting data from various devices, how do we better approach this data in terms of data-driven decision-making? So let's say the example of sensors, which are very widely used in IoT solutions. So in general terms, you can say that sensor converts the physical quantity of something, the measurement of something, and it converts it into a signal, which can be put onto the screen by an instrument or the observer. So, and you can put a graph and just put it as the dependent and independent variables, dependent graph or a function. So this is a visual approach, which is based on the data collected. On the other hand, you can have the same signal represented as the sequence of data which was transferred from one device to another, which is the analytical approach. So how those two methods or approaches, if you will, coexist in terms of one device or one project, and how do they contribute to the mutual goal of the data-driven decision-making and into making the data more comprehensive and approachable? That's the word.
Yeah, I don't know the specific differences between the two sort of models that you mentioned. I mean, I think it, again, it stems from the goal that you have, right? Like, again, if you have sensors collecting data, right, what is the ultimate goal? And I think, again, just having sensors collecting data for sake of having sensors collecting data, it's not the right approach. You need to actually start with a strategy, a goal in mind. Like, I have these sensors collecting this type of data because I want to answer this, or I want this to inform X decision, X strategy, or it's going to be a reference or an influence in something else. So you need to have that established. So if you have that established, you likely will have, when it comes to the visualization itself, that you want to create a graph to answer a question, right? So I think that's, again, where everything stems from, okay? So the type of graph will determine is dependent on the question that you want to answer, your hypothesis.
As you've mentioned, that it is important to, you know, kind of build the bridge to understanding the data and then to like taking the action accordingly. And I would like to see how that is actually possible in different projects in different industries and specifically in IoT projects. So you know that we always play a little game with our guests. So today I would like to ask you to think about the potential visualization of the data which can be gathered from some specific IoT-based solutions from various industries. I will be giving you the example. So okay. The idea for you would be to think how you can visualize that the most efficient way.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, you ready?
Sure.
First one would be smart alarm clock.
I don't know. It has to be something soothing enough that you don't feel too angry with it. Not use triangles, because triangles actually trigger your amygdala. A downward triangle is known for triggering your anxiety. So no triangles, no red, something that's soothing, you know, like a yellow tone, curvy shapes.
Good. What if we are talking about the face recognition bot?
Ooh, face recognition bot. Yeah. Yes, I think, again, almost like similar to the alarm clock, it needs to be probably using curves. Humans associate curves with comfort, with familiarity, with happiness. So you want to decrease the barrier to entry. You want to decrease the sense of being intimidated by this device. So use curves, use suiting colors as well. Maybe, you know, white, grayish, but that would be appropriate, I would say.
Okay, let's finish up with the last one, with the weather reporting system.
Weather reporting system. To visualize, there's so many different ways. I would go back to the circle. The circle has this really interesting sequence to it, right? Like the cyclicality of time in a circle. So I would probably use a circle to visualize weather patterns in some way, shape, or form.
Nice. Thank you very much. So, yeah, that's the challenge. That's the idea. As a part of a conclusion, I would like to ask you a question. So, how do you think data visualization evolved through the past 10 years? And what do you think it is going to look like in, let's say, 10 years is a little bit too much. Mm. Let's go with 5 years, five or seven, something
wow.
like that. What is the future of data visualization?
That's a good question. I think it's becoming more flexible and more understanding. The community and the practice, which is a good thing. Being a novel domain, you need to experiment. That's how we're going to grow, and that's how we're going to come up with new approaches. Also, because I feel that the visual metaphors we have today are for the most part, are still metaphors we have been using for 200 years. So we need to come up with new metaphors. We need to come up with new ways of visualizing. Oh, would I change? I don't know. I mean, I'm very interested at the moment in contributing with my passion for data visualization to, you know, to sort of conquer really tough challenges. That's one thing that I'm always very keen on doing, but also teaching others. I love to sort of transfer knowledge from one person to the other. And I get a lot of that, you know, through webinars, through teaching others, through mentoring others. And I feel very excited about inspiring other minds and transferring knowledge as much as I can.
Let's hope that in the future we would also be able to capture you more for our episodes, so you can also transfer some knowledge to us, to the listeners.
Of course, we'd be happy to.
Thank you very much for joining. It was very interesting and insightful. I have so much food for thought, so thank you for the inspiration.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
This has been another episode of L'Amazing Data Podcast. My name is Ksenia. Stay tuned for more awesome stories about data, and have a great day.